Jesus is the reason for the season. It's a pretty common phrase for a bumper sticker, a picture on the internet, or on a billboard. But have you really considered what it means? Who is Jesus, really? For that matter, which season is this little phrase referring to? Those two questions are more closely related than we might think at first. The fact is that many people started to celebrate Christmas earlier this week, or even right after Halloween. Decorations, Christmas music, seasonal foods and desserts, shopping for gifts. Unfortunately, this kind of premature celebration might be a sign that they are missing what this time of year is really about. And what is the church doing? How does she answer these two questions? Who is Jesus? And what is the season? That second question should be easy. We are in the season of Advent, not Christmas. And look at the readings that she has placed before us in Mass. Not a single mention of the baby Jesus. While the rest of the world is already throwing parties for Jesus' birthday, the church hasn't even started talking about it yet. On top of that, she's begun to use the color purple, a color of penance and anticipation and of hope, but not of celebration. Even more striking is the fact that we no longer say the Gloria and the time that she devotes to Advent and Christmas. Advent lasts just under 4 full weeks, and is followed by the Christmas season, which is just over 2 weeks. A time of preparation, followed by a slightly shorter time of celebration. So what gives? Christmas is everyone's favorite time of year. Why is the church being so stingy? Because she really understands who Jesus is, and what this means for both Christmas and Advent. While many people won't even acknowledge Advent at a practical level. While the rest of the world is immediately focused on celebrating an event in the past, or using it as an excuse, the church has her eyes on the present and the future. Christmas is indeed about an historical event, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Advent, however, is not quite set on the past. At least not yet. Instead, we start with these prophecies about the end of the world. Rather than simply remembering that Christ came once, the church is urgently reminding us that he will come again. Our God uses words, signs, and history itself to teach us and to prepare us for the future. And only the fourth Sunday of Advent has a gospel that talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. Today's tells us about the end of the world, and the second and third remind us of Jesus' public ministry while he was here on earth. The church wants to remind us how to live and die as Christians, not just to remind us of the past. And even Christmas has a note of the present and the future. It is about bringing Christ's presence into your own heart, and helping him to be born into the hearts and lives of others through evangelization. Jesus is the reason for the season. And who is Jesus? He is the Messiah promised to the Jews. He is the Lord of our lives. He is the Son of Man who will come at an hour you do not expect to judge the living and the dead, to take one but leave the other. And this mysterious taking of one man from the field, one woman from the mill, is not about the rapture, as some people think. The rapture is not a Catholic idea, and really, it didn't even exist as an idea until about the 20th century. No, Jesus is talking about the day of the Lord, which refers to the end of time and the final judgment. He also compares it to the flood of Noah, where the people who are left behind die in the flood, there is no temporary time of trial for those left behind. And when we apply this to the message of the final judgment, we see that Christ is talking about being taken to salvation or being left for damnation, all of which happens all at once in the final judgment. And the point here is not to give us a timeline, but to warn us to stay awake, to remain vigilant. And all of this applies pretty well to the difference between the worldly and truly Catholic way to celebrate Advent and Christmas. Far too many people have been lulled into a false sense of security, celebrating the coming of Christ without any preparation for what that means. No penance, and no having no real grasp of what the Lord Jesus Christ wants from us. He wants us to know Him, to love Him, to spend eternity with Him in joy. He wants to have a relationship with us, but it must be a real relationship with the real Jesus Christ. And even in the Christmas season, with its joy and memories, we must see Jesus with the cross. As the venerable Fulton Sheen once said, "Never forget that there are only two philosophies to rule your life. The one of the cross, which starts with the fast and ends with the feast. The other of Satan, which starts with the feast and ends with the headache." The church begins with Advent, with the fast, so that we can really enter into the feast. But the world jumps ahead to the feast, overindulges, and ends up with the headache. Except in the case of our eternal fate, skipping the fast could be a lot worse than a mere headache. And this dichotomy between the world and the church runs through everything. There's a hidden spiritual depth in this life, a kind of subtle music that runs through everything. But we have to be alert to see and to hear this. Today in the Mass, the prayer after communion, the closing prayer, asks the Lord to help us to love the things of heaven and hold fast to what endures, even as we walk amid passing things. So how do we hear this sound? How do we listen to this music, a music far sweeter than the Bing Crosby Christmas album? Hear the words of St. Paul. We must conduct ourselves properly, not in orgies and drunkenness, in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, not in greed, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. And by flesh, Paul doesn't mean our bodies, but our fallen desires. People tend to like Christmas because it's sweet and pleasant, but also because it can be an excuse to overeat, to drink too much, to blow off important tasks, and to buy things that nobody needs with money they don't have. Make no mistake, there is definitely a place for celebration with good food, drinking in moderation, thoughtful gifts, and resting with good company. But there is a key difference. A Catholic is called to do these things with their minds set on eternity. These things are pleasant, but they are meant to be signs and a foreshadowing of eternal joy. But the world is focused on them for their own sake, pursuing selfish pleasure. And the fact is that our human nature, fallen, naturally tends toward that selfish pleasure, which is exactly why we have Advent. That is why we start with fasting, vigilance, and patient anticipation. Isaiah promises a new heaven and a new earth, where Jerusalem and Zion will be the highest of all mountains, the symbolic description of eternal life, where the most important thing, the peak, will always be loving and worshiping God, But until then, we have the work of climbing, of overcoming the weight of our fallen fleshly desires. Even our natural bodies will suffer if we choose instant gratification instead of patiently waiting for the proper time. Jesus is the reason for the season. Do not skip the season of Advent, and do not forget who Christ really is. Treat this time like a miniature Lent. Give up something, like TV or video games. Skip a meal or two here or there. Look for an Advent devotion with daily prayers and readings from Scripture. Pray a daily rosary. Get an Advent wreath for your home. And perhaps try to avoid going to too many Christmas parties until it's actually Christmas. Do not become overcome by worldly sleep and distraction, or you may not hear God's call. But if you are patient, if you accept the fast before the feast, not just in Advent, but in your entire lives, you will be more alert to hear that joyful call. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord.